have tuned in to Paradigm Shifters here on wonderful BBS Radio. And who is a paradigm shifter is someone who's guiding us from this old paradigm where it wasn't quite as free for creation as the new one. The new one, we're going to create our reality, and we're going to walk through some of our old fears and create new joys. And so I think it's a whole new society. And my guest today is Mark Borax, who's an astrologer and a seeker all on his own, but his new book is called 2012, Crossing the Bridge to the Future. So welcome, Mark. I need some help getting to the future myself.
Hi, Veronica. It's nice to be on your show.
I've really enjoyed your book so far.
Thank you.
And yeah, lots that we can share today. So I'm not even sure where to start. Two things I want to talk about. 2012. Why don't you give people kind of a thumbnail on how you perceive 2012 and what it means to us all?
I feel that this significance of 2012 is that our species has gotten far off track in previous years, decades, centuries. And the way that we have mostly gotten off track is we've created a civilization which diverges widely from the path of the soul or the inner nature of human beings. And so our inner nature, our soul, is going along one way, and yet our world is going along another. And I feel that the significance of 2012 is that a great opportunity, a great intersection of time zones, an intersection of dimensions, an ability for us to actually kind of lasso the direction our civilization is going and pull it back more toward the true path of the human soul.
But do you think that, and I agree with you, do you think that that's requiring inner work? What do you think it requires from us all?
It requires tremendous inner work because the sheer proximity of such a powerful change in human history is raising all kinds of internal and external fear and resistance. And therefore, it's each of our tasks to stand up for what we know to be true and look at our own life path in order to decide, well, hey, it's not just the collective, it's not just those people out there somewhere that are being asked to steer this world back on track. And each one of us has our own separate role to play in that transition.
It's really quite a demand. Now, you're an astrologer. Do you see, for example, in astrology, have you been able to see the buildup of these planetary influences, like all the way through the 1900s, for example?
Yes, very much so.
I know you're not 100 years old. I wasn't implying that.
Not quite. I'm a little more than halfway there, though.
Okay.
Yes, astrologers did start to begin looking at these things many, many decades ago when we started to look at the age of Aquarius and when, especially in 1987, we really seriously began to look at the 25-year period from August of 1987 through the year 2012, that 25-year harmonic convergence was predicted to be a time which would flush up out of hiding all the things most wrong with our world civilization so that we could clear them out of the way and go on. And we're really pretty intensely into that flushing at this point, which is asking all of us to align with the planetary changes that are already happening on a cosmic level, but need human assistance to really bring it all the way in.
Okay, so I want to jump around a little bit and say, okay, the Mayan predictions talked about 2012, and there are other thought groups that have talked about it as well. Would you say that, for example, what you were just saying, the 25 years and the harmonic convergence, that could just come from astrological data without having included the Mayan
No,
what I mean is, could it have been discovered separately?
Well, I think a lot of these things come independently. I was first tuned in to the harmonic convergence through the work of Jose Arguelles back in 1986, 1987. It was brought to my attention that his interpretation of ancient Mayan cosmology was talking about an end of recorded history, an end of a whole old way of doing things, and a beginning of a whole other age. Then we began to see that similar predictions were coming from various other cultural sources, such as Hinduism talking about the Kali Yuga, the end of the great hells that we've been going through. The Hopi elders had been talking about a very similar thing. And so I think that astrologically and through these various cultures, it was brought to our attention, at least it was brought to my attention back in 1987, that this powerful gateway of 2012 was approaching. And I began to do everything that I could back then to just prepare for it.
Well, this is I think it's very exciting. Can you give us some sort of, like, what do we expect from ourselves? It's all about earth changes and all about chakra changes and about belly changes. What can we expect?
I think the chakra changes and the belly changes are more my department, that I can really feel in my gut level and see psychically more than the earth changes. What I feel is being asked of us and has already begun to happen is that those parts of the human individual that have gotten turned against itself, those parts of you and me that have become turned against ourselves, those are being catalyzed. Those are being purged. Those are being raised. The effect that this has in people's ordinary everyday existence is to make it less and less tolerable to be willing to live a partially satisfying existence when everybody is waking up to the idea that there is so much more than that. And that's what I'm seeing now in all of my various clients. That I work with clients in many different countries all over the world in the course of each week, and I'm seeing clearly that there is a consciousness that is spreading like wildfire through India and Kentucky and Spain and Ireland and Alabama and all over the world now. People are feeling that there is a change happening, and they're asking me each week, well, what can I do to be a part of this? How can I really get with this thing that's happening? And much like the last time I saw such a social movement occur was the 1960s, much like the 1960s, there's this sense that this accelerated wave of consciousness is beginning to sweep the planet. We're not in the thick of it now. It's more like 1966, 1965, 1966, not quite 1967, 68, or 69, but it's coming. And there's this sense of, in our chakras, in our gut, in our body, live the life that you were born to live. And whatever resistance or fear that idea raises in you, treat it as a challenge rather than a barrier.
And for many, many people, that means pitting themselves against what seemed to be a system of security. But even that seems to be going through a huge challenge, doesn't it?
Yes, our economy and our political situation and so many of the things that used to form the matrix of our thought and our culture are crumbling. And I feel that that's a very positive thing, because this world culture that we've created has been based on a lot of unfairness, injustice, a lot of lies. I mean, the current administration is the worst in the history of this country. And whatever is shaking, I feel needs to shake, and I'm not predicting doom and gloom and tremendous economic hardship and volcanoes and earthquakes everywhere. I don't feel it's that kind of a Armageddon. I feel rather that the damage has already been done. We've already created a horrible system here, and that it's shaking because new energy is coming into it from the root level, which is asking each of us as individuals to recognize what's really important in our lives and to get on with that.
And do you think that, for example, when you said it's coming in from the root level, I don't know if you, because I get this feeling that we're getting these universal downloads that are really intense, and we're getting these kids that are being born that are wide awake, right?
Yes.
And the 60s, wasn't that astrologically something to do? I'm not an astrologer, but wasn't there a huge explanation on how Pluto was functioning then that made people really erupt and ask questions of value?
Well, the Pluto in Leo generation and then later in Virgo, the key influential astrological sign of the 1960s was Virgo. And what was happening with outer planets moving through Virgo back then is kind of echoed by Saturn, which is currently moving through Virgo. And Virgo, on a collective level, asks each of us to craft our lives so that it's an accurate reflection of who we really are inside.
Well, that's excellent.
Yes.
And also very disruptive.
Yeah, things are shaking again. I feel so happy about that. And I really feel as if that the things that are challenging now are the things that need to be. We're all being challenged to get real, to show up, to vote for that dream we have in our heart of hearts and not put that off for some imaginary future, but this is the time. The gateway is swiftly approaching, and the power of this gateway of 2012 is that en masse, humanity is being offered a very intense opportunity to really get back on track and steer our world towards the truth that we know in our heart of hearts, which means that the old world is shedding like a snake.
It's very exciting. So you mentioned earlier that you had people all over the world basically asking, what can we expect? What can we expect? What can individuals expect right now? Do they expect being kind of shaken up or losing security or bank problems and the other side of all that, which is new foundations?
Yes, the only way that the new can grow is if the old gives way. The old is dying, and it's dying a prolonged battle on our political stage in mass consciousness and on an internal stage in the karmic theater of each of our lives, of our inner natures. Wherever we are plugged into old, obsolete systems of thought, systems of government, those places now are being uprooted, are being pushed aside, are being slaughtered, are being killed off like the cells of a snake whose skin used to be a very good housing until the snake grew and had to molt. And when a snake is molting, it often seeks a cactus to scrape the old skin off so it can kind of writhe and wriggle and squirm and twist until it pries off the old skin.
So it hurts.
It can hurt, and it can also be terrifying, and it can also be exhilarating. And all of those things are what to expect. It's hurting. It's going to hurt. It's terrifying. It's going to be terrifying, and it's exhilarating. It's going to be exhilarating.
People are expecting loss, is what you're saying.
Yes, especially where we're hooked into the old. I mean, look at the political situation. An administration that thinks it can dominate the whole world with its own corrupt ideas masquerading as goodness and justice and peace is just completely caught in an illusion that is so obsolete that the people all over the world are waking up and realizing that, wait a minute, our leaders and our governments are insane. I mean, the government of the United States is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who does not recognize that and admit that is living in a denial state. We have become a fascist dictatorship. And yet, at the same time, there's another force rising, and the force of evolution always proves to be stronger than the forces of tyranny and injustice. If you study history, it never lasts for long. I mean, Rome was there for 500 years, but it crumbled.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are parts of the power structure, there are parts of our ordinary everyday existence that are shaky right now, that are giving way, but there is another force coming in underneath that from a root level, which is this force that has been repressed for so long, and it's the force of truth. It's the force of rightfulness. It's the force of living the dream that we were born to live.
Well, I keep thinking about alternative energy sources for people and also sustainable housing and housing situations that can house many people for less money. I mean, there are many, many people in this country alone that are absolutely moving and grooving and creating outrageous opportunities for many people, aren't there?
Yes, it's like Charles Dickens said of another revolution, it's the best of times and the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's both. It's both. It's a personal human choice now whether we're going to align ourselves with the old retrogressive forces now and feel the horribleness of it all being lost in some kind of way, or whether we're going to align with the new evolutionary force, like you mentioned, that the children that are now being born are so in present time. They are so fully here now and ready to go. They are the teachers of us all.
And they are so unconvinced by BS.
That's right. They do not buy into the crap that their parents and their grandparents got caught in so many layers of.
Mm-hmm.
And that child in the human species, that child in you and in me right now, is just aching to get out of the prison of this halfway existence. And there are good people in government and politics and art and education. And it is truly the best of times and the worst of times. It's all moving again in a way like I haven't seen since the 1960s.
Well, it's really interesting because, and I agree with you, I'm thinking also that this movement, including the Indigo Children and whatever we pick, sustainable housing or whatever, is going on all over the world. So the people are having, the wake-up is so kind of around the world that I don't think people will be duped by the mind-numbing of structural leadership any longer, I mean, for much longer.
I do agree with that, Veronica, and I take heart in the fact that the Internet is still, in most parts of the world, a free forum that, you know, there are people in Africa who can right now tell a story of what's happening in a country that within seconds, people in Istanbul and South America and Kentucky and New York can read about that without it having to be censored by central government or mass media. And so the fact that the Internet is still mostly an uncensored media and that people are awakening all over the world very much gives me hope that what we predicted about the Aquarian Age is actually coming true.
Now, when did the Aquarian Age officially start? I've heard different numbers on this. So.
I take that the Aquarian Age to actually fully begin in 2012, and I feel that we're still on the cusp. We haven't quite finalized the 2,000-year Age of Pisces, and that I'm going to mark 2012 as the full entry of the Aquarian Age. So many, you know, that's a highly debatable thing, but that's my personal sense of it.
Well, it is highly debatable, but I'm excited about what's coming. I really feel like we're kind of going through a tube. What What was I going to ask you? What do you think about extraterrestrials and that sort of thing?
Well, I have had my own personal connections at various times with objects in the sky, with things that were landing, and even once or twice I had a direct experience with what felt to me like extraterrestrial species, and I don't read the material on it. I have in earlier years followed it, but I'm really not a good source of discussion for that because it's not my forte.
Well, I'll tell you why I asked it was because it seems to me that we're getting more of an ability to have a global consciousness. And I often think that we're preparing for being a part of the universe, for being part of the intergalactic flow, if you will.
Yes, and I love that angle of it, which is one that I also believe that humanity is being attuned, brought back into a higher frequency, into an attunement that can make us more receptive to the greater cosmic forces that can assist us in preventing us from getting caught in this narrow, egocentric tunnel vision that we tend to get stuck in, and expand our awareness that we timeshare our world with many different dimensions, many different layers of beings, and that we don't have to be so blinded and shut down to that. So
yeah, and I think there was a lot of a plan to keep us limited our thinking so that we would be controllable, so we were contained. Maybe we're just coming of age, and maybe it's more about that.
It does feel like humanity is really waking up on a very deep level to who we are, and there's a lot of growing pains that are happening all over the world as we realize that we do have an incredible power. We do have an enormous ability to make a huge difference, and we don't have to just kind of waste that energy, but we can claim much more of an affirmative choice in how we use this incredible world and this amazing life that the soul takes on in the body.
Do you think that we're also the move to becoming authentic may be the first time, do you think?
I think that history moves in cycles, and there's parallel cycles. Like on one level, evolution has continued since the very beginning, but on another level, we've gone backwards, and then there's a spiral. So I think history moves in cycles, and I do believe there were a couple of earlier periods in history, notably the early stage of Atlantis, also the ancient Mayan time, and in some ways perhaps the Celtic, the ancient Celtic days. I do believe there were other times in history in which we did rise above our own tunnel vision and see clairvoyantly down through the ages of the future and plant little encoded messages to our descendants that now we're kind of on the receiving end of what some of those earlier cultures sent as like time capsules to awaken us yet again. So I think that there is a new awakening that we're being asked to do now, and I believe the main difference between the current awakening that is being asked of us and the former versions is that it was never the full collective mass of humanity itself that could or was intended to fully awaken. It was always the initiated and the elite and the few, but the Aquarian Age expands that capacity for awakening throughout the whole collective, and I feel that that's the main difference.
Do you think we're going to be able to move past the... Well, what about the dominance of, say, 300 families? Is that what we hear? The dominance of a number of families who run the economic power grid on this planet. Can we move past that?
I do feel we're going to be able to move past those things, and I feel that one of the signs of us moving past that is the economic and political stranglehold that a few elite corporations and people have had is loosening, because even middle-of-the-road people in Kansas and Iowa are awakening to the fact that something different is going on here and now, and they're not just so willing to go along with what the corporate-controlled media is presenting as a solid, dependable kind of reality. I mean, it's no longer just the fringe elements of our society that are tuning into these things anymore. It's even the sleeping beast, the slumbering beast of the mainstream mass consciousness is even awakening, and I believe that the power structures are crumbling, and they're fighting for their lives, because when power structures start to crumble, they tend to dig in even more than ever.
Well, it's interesting, people often refer to the fact that predictions will say that America is going to come apart from within, and everybody says that's because they've got Muslims here, or terrorists. And I think it is just because there's a rise in consciousness coming from people who are used to being mind-numbed and so on. And
yeah, I don't feel that the problem is the Muslims and the terrorists.
Neither do I.
I really feel that the culture has been based upon some very severe injustice, inequities, and yet masquerading as the best and greatest and most just thing in all the world, that everybody ought to love us. And that picture has a lot of falsehood and illusion and deception in it, and that mirror is cracking, and America is waking up to see its clear reflection rather than its distorted, airbrushed, beautiful, you know, image. And I feel that there still are some strong and powerful and good things about our country. I'm really in love with our country. Just like Mark Twain said, I believe in my country always. I believe in my government when it deserves it.
That's really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to happen? So let's go back to individuals working with you, say, what can I do to prepare? What is it I need to do? What do you say? You read their charts.
Well, sit down and ask yourself, are you living the life you were born to live? Are you waking up each morning just yearning to get out of bed and contribute to the world in some creative fashion? Are you getting juiced up by your marriage relationship? Are you just in love with life? Is the passion of your heart just radiating out of you from the moment when you get up till the moment you go to sleep 7 days a week? And if it isn't, well, why not? What do you have to do to change your life so that you're right in that groove, in that flow, giving from your heart, offering something to the world, receiving something valuable in return for your gift? Are your relationships, is your love relationship, is your family, is your job, is your career, are your friendships all just serving you and feeding you and nourishing your soul and igniting you to be alive? And if it isn't, then there is something very wrong, and you have to change that, because nobody else is going to be able to.
It's really funny when you say all that. I go, yeah, I can just hear people. Oh, I know a lot of people are making the change, actually, but I know there's a number of people that would be very frightened by that, very frightened, you know, because it means that they would shift their identity, shift all the things that they're adhering to in order to, you know, maintain their identity on the planet, their security, right?
Yes, it is frightening to consider power. Power is a much more, happiness is a much more terrifying thing to consider than limitation. Limitation maintains the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And to actually bring your dream into existence will scare the crap out of you, because it means that you have to confront every voice of conditioning and artificial limitation that's in your own head. Because I know right now that there are people listening to what I'm saying and saying, wow, it's really great and cool for that guy to say all that. You know, he has a book and he's an astrologer, but I mean, you know, look at me in my life. Already people's minds are rushing to list for themselves all the reasons why they can't have that life. But what
I loved your story about the harmonic convergence, and you took some acid. It was way back, and you went through something which broke you open. You think that's real? We need it. We all need that at some point. And I don't mean the acid. I'm not preaching that right now.
Yeah. Whatever breaks you open is a powerful thing. It could be the loss of somebody you love very dearly. It could be...
Because a lot of people don't have the dream, Mark, do they?
The dream is sleeping. It just needs to be awakened. We saw this in the 60s, you know. There was a stuck energy in the world. But once consciousness banded together in San Francisco, in London, in Berlin, in Los Angeles, in New York, once consciousness banded together and began to make news headlines, began to make waves, it doesn't really take a whole lot to awaken that dream. This is the amazing thing. It's like if thousands of people get together and start following their true destiny, like happened in the 60s, it is so contagious. Because the inner nature of human beings is sick to death at living a shut down, limited, artificial version of life.
A lie. You're always living a lie inside yourself. I know.
I mean, let's just discard that lie. Let's just be the love that we are. Let's just be the strength that we are. Be the power that we are. Get your life on track. Just put it there. You know, just stop making excuses.
And you can usually tell by how you feel, can't you?
It's a very deep satisfaction of the soul. It's like making love with the person you love rather than like having sex.
Excellent, yeah. So tell us more about your own journey. So we started in 87 with the harmonic convergence. Of course, you started earlier, but I'm talking about a breaking open like an egg.
Well, in my book, 2012, Crossing the Bridge to the Future, and by the way, can we let people know where they can get that book?
Please, oh please. It's a very, very exciting book, and you're a wonderful writer.
Thank you. Thank you very much. 2012, Crossing the Bridge to the Future by Mark Borax, B-O-R-A-X. You can get this at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, many of the better independent booksellers, or through my website, www.markborax.com. That's M-A-R-K-B-O-R-A-X, like 20 Mule Team Borax. And I'm also still available for astrology readings if you're interested. My personal journey, at least the part of it described in the book, which my book opens up in 1987 with the harmonic convergence, and for a week I fasted and did yoga and prayed and sweated, and then I went up to the top of Mount Shasta with two friends and we dropped acid, and boy, did I get lost on that mountain. I wasn't even able to tell the full extent of that whole story of what happened in my book, but a long journey of many, many hours, I got lost on the mountain, and I got brought to one of the lowest points of my life where I could feel my life force ebbing and I was about to die, or maybe I even did die. I don't know what medical science would have said about this. I think maybe I might have died and then came back again, but it was as if I was offered a choice, which was, are you ready to leave your body? I've been having a lot of emotional pain and turmoil in my life. And it actually sounded like a pretty good deal at that moment, which was, wow, I could get out of all this pain and suffering. I could just leave my body. But some force in me was not ready to do that and came rushing back in with all of this pain and all of this humanness just kind of flooding me. And I didn't quite know what to make of that experience. until several months later when I got the first astrology reading from the man who later became my teacher, William Lonsdale, who's now called Elias Lonsdale, a great astrologer, probably the world's greatest astrologer, who was living in the Santa Cruz Mountains of Northern California. And he gave me a reading, which is described in the second chapter of my book, that just blew my mind. I'd never had dreamed that astrology could be used so deeply at that level. And that reading so shook me and transformed me that it planted a hunger in my belly to want to do for other people what this guy had just done for me.
One of the things I really loved is when you were talking about the reading and you were talking about the energy of the reading, it seemed to me to be a real lineup with all of your inner bodies and everything kind of lined up, and you kind of got that vibrational integration from it, which is just very, very life-changing, isn't it?
Thank you for mentioning that. Yes, I really tried to write this book on a gut level, filling in all the sensory information. I wanted to pick readers up and put them in the room with me.
Well, you did that for me.
Thank you. Especially in our mystery school classes in Bonnie Doon, California, under the redwoods in a little cabin. What happened in those years in those classes in the California mountains was so powerful for me and a few hundred other people that story was living in my belly for 20 years until I was able to make a book out of it. And my goal with that book was to reach all over the world and grab readers and plant them in that living room with that wood stove under the redwoods so that you could take part firsthand in the excitement of this incredible teacher and what these spirit teachings meant. And in that first astrology reading that I had with him, you're absolutely right, I was being initiated on a very deep level. It was so much more than just an astrology reading. It was so much more than just an exchange of information. He reached in and he grabbed me by the soul and he brought me through all of my crap and he planted me in myself.
It's like, this is who you are.
That's right. He saw who I was at a time when I didn't fully see who I was, and he kept on seeing who I was through the years of the classes and all the way down to the present moment. And that's the power of a soul-level astrology reading at a significant life-or-death transformative point.
I just want to say this, is when we're entering the consciousness of entering 2012, it needs to be a life-death moment for people to finally awaken to their true purpose and their authenticity, doesn't it? It is a near-death experience.
Humanity has had to come this close to a very severe crisis, a very severe challenge that's life and death-like, in order to produce a powerful enough awakening to snap us out of the trance of normalcy, that trance state that every day passes for normalcy, but actually is a very, very thick trance. And that's the power of a potent astrology reading or a good book or a powerful LSD trip or some kind of spiritual revelation. The power is that it can jerk you out of that trance state of mass consciousness and get you to realize that, oh my God, life is so much more than I thought it was.
Very exciting. So where did you go from there? This is that kind of...
Well, from there, I moved down to Santa Cruz, and I ended up starting my own astrology practice. At that point, I had been working in the comic book business as a writer and an editor and an agent, and I was unsatisfied with comics. And within days after the first reading I had from my teacher, though that wasn't my first astrology reading, but it was the first that I had with my teacher, and it was on a whole different order. In the book, I talk about it like describing it like Jimi Hendrix. there's like great guitarists, you know, like Eric Clapton and Mark Knopfler, and then there's Jimi Hendrix. And it was like that with my teacher. I mean, there's really great astrologers, and then there's Elias Lonsdale. And it was on such a whole other dimension that within days, I did my first professional astrology reading after having spent 4 years studying astrology on my own. And then 2 years later, we started a mystery school in the Santa Cruz Mountains where we brought a whole new system of astrology into the world for the first time that we call Star Genesis. And that,
you and Lonsdale?
What's that?
You and Lonsdale.
Yes. And that system of astrology is the one that I've based my career on for the last 21 years as a full-time practicing soul-level astrologer. It uses the birth chart as a window to the soul. And so it goes very deep beyond the normal typecasting of the 12 signs of the zodiac. It goes into a very deep corridor of the soul in order to just help a person clear out their artificially conditioned parts of their nature and catalyze their deeper soul nature.
And I just love when I read his comment was, as a good astrologer, if you see Gemini, you have to know every single person that comes in and check what their sign really means. You can't accept some predefined term, Gemini, and
yes,
know what
that
it
was
means.
The first advice he gave me, he said, if you want to go out and be an astrologer, the main thing you need to know is never think that you know what Gemini is, but always be willing to find out all over again with that next Gemini who walks in your door. And that approach to astrology became my mantra, and that's what I've based my practice on.
It's great. I want to ask you something about the planetary arrangements and what's going on 2012. Can you give us some kind of description of what's going on in the planets to lead us to this? There's something called a yod that you mentioned.
Yeah, there's, well, the soul level story of this is that next spring there's going to be a very powerful activation, the most powerful one between now and 2012, and that's going to be in late May and early June of 2009, when the giant outer planet Neptune is in 27 degrees Aquarius. At the same time, Chiron is in 27 degrees Aquarius. At the same time, Jupiter is in 27 degrees Aquarius. This triple conjunction between Chiron, Jupiter, and Neptune in late May and early June of 2009 takes on a powerful, powerful energy that we're calling the ignition point.
Huh.
That's where 2012 fully ignites as much as it can before 2012, just a few years before. And astrologers are just now beginning to catch on to this timing. I haven't heard anybody talk about this yet except Elias Lonsdale and myself. But the significance of that is that a tremendous initiation is going to ignite very deep in our species, and kind of like viewing a speeded up stream of consciousness movie, humanity is going to relive the previous 2,000 year age of Pisces in fast motion, like in a collage, like everything that's gone on since the coming of Christ is going to flash across the screen of our mind's eye, like our collective third eye, our collective brow chakra is going to see clairvoyantly the highlights of the last 2,000 years in order to bless it and release it and let go of it and initiate ourselves into a new version of authority and power. And the old version of authority and power that's on the way out is where kings and rabbis and priests held the salvation of the masses in their own hands. And that Piscean age authority is going to just kind of stream out of us. And at the same time, we're going to get a preview of the upcoming 2,000-year age of Aquarius, and that ignition point is so powerful that already ahead of time, it's flushing up out of us anything that's in the way of it. So from now through next spring, a great flushing, a great purging is going on.
So that means we're going to be up and down, and we're going to go through some emotional deluges, perhaps?
It's a powerful death and birth spasm. You know, a woman in labor or a person dying, it has that kind of intensity to it vibrationally, except it's our world culture that's dying and our new world culture that's being born. So we're in that zone now. If you've ever been close to somebody giving birth or somebody dying, there's a spiritual force that pervades the air, and there's a lot of hysteria from family members who are just freaking out all over the place. If you choose to tune in to the deep underlying vibration that something sacred and irreplaceable is happening here, then the death part of this won't take on a form of terror and horror and wrongness, and the birth part of this will just free up the soul to just kind of blend in, and each one of us has the capacity now to die to our old, obsolete nature and be born to something new.
Mm.
And that ignition point of May and June 2009 is the single most important timing up until 2012. That's what's going to really pave the way as a huge threshold initiation for our species.
Is it going to have a greater... Does it depend where our chart is, that how dramatic these impacts are on us?
Yes. It always... What's happening for the collective affects each individual differently, and that's where I come in as an astrologer in planting where these planets fall in your own chart. So if those of you who are listening right now who happen to know your own birth chart, if you know the house where late Aquarius is in your own chart, 27 degrees Aquarius, that's where this ignition point is already beginning to radiate and radiate, and it's going to continue more and more strongly during the next 9 months. And whatever planets you have there and whatever house that is, if that was in your fourth house, for instance, of your birth chart, that would tend to affect your domestic situation, your very house, your home, and your family.
But if that was in seventh?
If it was in your seventh house, that's going to affect your marriage relationship or your deep, intimate connections with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the collective movements of the planets have both the collective general overtone of what it means for everybody, but also the specific playing out of how that's going to fall in your own chart.
It'd be good if we had the ability to all chat with each other about it so that we aren't hiding from it or repressing it or suppressing it or whatever.
It's a very good idea, is that something powerful is happening now, and let's talk about it, and let's bring this out, and let's expose it.
So you say that that's going to be the most powerful transition point before 2012.
Right.
So what about 2012 itself? Is it going to be December 21st?
Yeah, and then in 2012, the main thing that I'm tuning into is in June of 2012, there's going to be a powerful square between Uranus and Pluto, a 90-degree angle, and that 90-degree angle is a direct carryover from what was happening in the 1960s in Virgo, when these great outer planets met in Virgo, and now they're squaring each other in June of 2012, and at that point, it's going to take on a much more transcendent nature. Uranus is species intelligence, the direct downloading from galactic sources right down into the highest energy of the human consciousness. Uranus, the way that Uranus works in the birth chart is it takes the most advanced part of somebody and advances it. And so when Uranus is squared by Pluto, Pluto is the living hell, the realms of hell, the places where we're being internally tortured, where we're self-castigating, where we've turned against ourselves, where we're replaying karmic scenarios of limitation and fear over and over and over. When Pluto squares Uranus, what happens is the very worst, harshest, stuck parts of the human being bring on, catalyze the most advanced responses in consciousness. And in June of 2012, when those two planets square each other, the bright dream of the 1960s, you know, that cosmic blueprint that we got as a species in 1960s is all you need is love. And it sounds trite, and it sounds simple, and it's the truest, strongest advice that Buddha and Christ and Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, everyone has said this down since the beginning of humanity. All the great minds and avatars have said what the Beatles said in 1967, which is all you need is love. And that blueprint has taken 40 years to saturate down into the roots of our culture. What's going to happen in 2012 in the summer is that that blueprint is going to go to its next activation.
Excellent. We want that.
Yay.
This is a good note to leave on. I wish we didn't have to end now. I wish we'd got you going on this stuff earlier even. Although it was a wonderful, wonderful discussion with you, Mark, and
it's
I really recommend that book. Would you like to mention the name of your book?
My book is 2012, Crossing the Bridge to the Future. It's published by Frog Books, available Amazon bookstores everywhere, on my website, markborax.com, markborax, and I'm still available for astrology readings if anybody wants. Just check my website, and you can email me.
And I think borax must have something to do with really cleaning up our subconscious tangles, right?
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us today. I really enjoyed this, Mark, and keep up the great work.
It's my pleasure, and you too. I'm happy to be on your show, and I'm glad to know you're out there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Many blessings.
Take care.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night. Well, that was exciting. Talk about paradigm shifting. We're shifting in so many ways on this planet, and he really invigorated my beliefs about 2012, which are we're really getting somewhere as a species. It's bubbling up. Isn't that exciting? Check his book. This is Veronica Entwistle. If you'd like to get on my mailing list and find out who's up and coming on this great show, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, and I'd love to talk to you, meet with you. Many blessings, and thank you so much for listening to the show and for listening to wonderful BBS Radio. We're a part of the big change. Much love.